Well, good morning once again.
Good morning.
We like good mornings around here. I'd rather have a good morning than a bad morning any day, right? Well, thanks for being here. As Deacon Don said, I'm going to be continuing on in this message series through James. And, oh, goodness, I've learned so much just really diving in more deeply to the book of James and seeing what God has to say. And just what a powerful book, really. Just so many things to be thinking about and ways that we can be improving our lives. And this morning is going to get real interesting. But before I get too ahead of myself, I'm just going to ask once again that God would still our hearts. And actually, I'm going to ask each of you just to take a moment to pray silently to yourself that God would allow you to hear what you need to hear this morning. And I'm going to pray the same thing because these things I'm preaching to you, I need to hear it just as much as anyone else. So let's just take a moment to silently pray that God would just give you an open mind, a soft heart to receive gladly from his word. Father, we come humbly before you this morning. We want to hear from your voice. We want to hear from your word, Lord. Just help me to step to the side and the people would hear what you want them to hear, not what Pastor Paul wants them to hear, not what Deacon Don wants them to hear, not what Satan wants them to hear, that they would hear what you want them to hear. Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen. You know, it took a man from across the world to teach me how to take moments of silence. I don't know if you guys remember Seung-Won Hyun. We called him One, our old Korean neighbors. But every time he came in, you know, I'd be leading worship up here, and he'd stand in front of his chair and have that moment of silence. And one, you know, I met with him weekly, and finally I asked him, you know, One, what do you do when you come? And he's like, oh, I just take that time to still myself before the Lord, ask him to speak to me. I'm like, man, we just need to start doing that more. Yeah, I'm so excited. Haley and I are actually taking a trip with our three little boys to California this summer, Irvine, California. Yeah, Jude's already excited. Yeah. Yay! I'm going to go see One and Hyung and Susie, and it's going to be real crazy, and I'm already praying now in advance that God is, like, filling up my bank of patience and things like that. So I'm just ready when things go wrong or when some, you know, I'll be like, okay, let's just deal with this. We'll just deal with this. So anyway, but I trust it's going to be a good time. So moving on with James. Oh, nothing will be happening. Be completely fine. Oh, goodness. Thanks for so positive, Don. Yeah. Thanks for the encouragement there. So, all right, to take a quick recap, I know not all of us have been here for all the previous messages that we've had so far, but James, you know, I might start offering money if anybody can, like, list the big idea from all the previous messages. That might be a good way to close. Anybody can? All right, who can name all the, when I get to my last one, who can name the big idea from the previous nine James messages? But James part one, big idea, that was chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, find joy and remain steadfast during the testing of your faith. So that was the big idea from part one. Find joy and remain steadfast during the testing of your faith. James part two, which was chapter 1, verses 18 through 27. Hear the word, receive the word, do the word. There, yep. And if you guys know it, feel free to say them along with me. Don't be shy. Okay. And then James part three, that was chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. The big idea, don't play favorites, show impartial love. Okay, so that was the big idea from part three. Today, just a few of the big idea verses I'm just going to highlight real quickly. James 2, 17 and 18. So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So the big idea for today, as has been mentioned already, when you get home tonight, you're sitting down for dinner, or you're passed out taking a nap because you're so exhausted from the week and taking a rest on Sunday, which you should, or getting down, lying down for bed, or doing your nighttime prayers or whatever. This is what we want you to remember when you leave today. Live out your faith by your good works. Can we just all say that out loud real quickly? Live out your faith by your good works. Okay, so that's the big idea that we want to leave with today, and I'm really ecstatic just to be sharing out of this passage. I think this one was probably the most challenging so far as I've been going through James, and just found a lot of interesting things. So before we even get into the scripture reading today, I need to do a little introduction. So we're ready to hear. Some of you probably have read this passage, and what James says here is pretty controversial. In fact, these verses are perhaps the most controversial in James's letter, for sure, and even in the entire Bible. Martin Luther wanted to throw James out of the Bible. Did you guys know that? Like, he wanted to remove James from Scripture because he was so upset with the seemingly message that it says we are saved by faith plus works. And these verses are commonly misused to support the heresy that we are saved by faith plus works, which forms, it's called a synergism of the two. So like both of them together binding it become more powerful and have a better result being together than apart. That's what synergism is. You take two different things, you sync them, and then there's more energy, more power as a result of the two. So that's the heresy that people teach, but it's a false teaching, and that we must trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Of course, we sang that. They're nothing but the blood, right? But we must also add our own deeds. This is what the false teaching says. So we must trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior, but we must also add our own deeds of charity and devotion for his redemptive work to take full effect. So that's what they think. You know, so in order for that salvation to take full effect, we also have to add our own works of charity. However, this is not the message that James is communicating here. We're going to talk about that. However, James does use the phrase justified by works three times in this passage. And when we hear that, what? Justified by works? What? How can he say that? He says it three times. So what does he mean by that? In order to grasp the full truth of justification, we must clearly understand the six aspects of justification. Okay, so I'm going to go through that just so we're all on the same page and so we can get a glimpse of what James means when he says justified by works. Okay, so there's six elements to how we are justified. This it'll be up on the PowerPoint, but it won't be in your bulletin. So if you want to take notes on this, feel free. So number one, the first thing we're justified is by grace. One, we are justified by grace. We do not deserve to be justified. In fact, we deserve the very opposite, right? I always tell people, the only thing I deserve in this life is hell. I'm a wicked sinner. Anything else that I get on top of that, especially my salvation, I mean, that's huge. But any other good things that happen to me, I'm just so thankful for it. Like, I don't deserve anything. I deserve condemnation, okay? But because of the grace of Jesus Christ, we're justified. We can see that in Romans 3:24. And are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Okay, so I think we're all kind of on board with that, right? Yeah, justified by grace. Yeah, that sounds good. Justified by grace. Good. All right, number two, we're justified by faith. We're justified by faith. So faith is the human response to God's grace. So God's saying, here's my grace, here's my free gift, and our putting our faith in that, believing God at his word, justified. So by faith, we accept the free gift. Faith appropriates what God has done for us. Okay, and we can see that in Romans 5:1. So therefore, since we have been, what? Justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so we're justified by grace, we're justified by faith, we're justified by blood. We sang about that. We started that this morning. Nothing but the blood, right? So the blood, that's the price which had to be paid to procure our justification. Christ's blood paid our debt of sin, enabling God to justify ungodly sinners through the righteous sanctification that was made through Christ's blood. And we can see that in Romans 5:9. Since, therefore, we have now been, what? Justified by his blood. See how all these verses, it says it's justified by this, justified by this. Now, justified by his blood. Much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Romans 5:9. Number four, we're justified by God. Okay? Seems kind of simple, but yeah. You know, God is the person who justifies. He has the authority to do that. And we see that in Romans 8:33. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. He's the one. He's the righteous judge, right? Okay, now, number five. Are we still on board right now? Okay, so we got grace, faith, blood, God, power. Power. I love that. Not Little Red Riding Hood. Robin Hood. Yeah, thank you. Robin Hood. We watched that in Prince John. He's like, power. Yes, power. Anyway, oh goodness. The boys love it when I do my Prince John voice. But power. Everybody likes power, right? Power raised Christ from the dead. That took some power to raise somebody from the dead, did it not? Yes. Amen. And his resurrection proves that God is satisfied. His resurrection. Okay, and we see this in Romans 4:25. Jesus, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So the connection here, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are justified by that, and that resurrection took great power to do. Okay? So we're justified by grace, faith, blood, God, power, and six works. James said it three times, right? So let's talk about what this means. Works are the outward proof of the reality of our faith. Okay? So works are the outward proof of the reality of our faith. They give outward expression to what would otherwise be invisible. How am I supposed to know that anybody in this room has a faith in Jesus Christ if you say that you have it, but I see nothing in your life that would match up with that? I'm not going to know. So the only way I'm going to know is by seeing those good works that you do. And that's why works are part of the justification process. And we see that in James 2:24. You see that a person is justified by works and not faith alone. So in conclusion, listen carefully here. In conclusion, grace is the principle upon which God justifies. Faith is the means by which man receives it. Blood is the price which the Savior had to pay. God is the active agent in justification. Power is the proof, and works are the result. Okay? So all six of those factors have to be in existence to know that we are justified. Okay? Now I'm going to do a little bit more explaining. I know some of you are maybe thinking, okay, it still sounds like you're saying that we're saved by works. I'm not saying that. So please hold on. Keep listening. If your gears are grinding, if you're like, then that's good. We're thinking. We're together. Okay? So let's dive into the passage here. I only got 3 points this morning. Number one, faith without works is dead. Okay? Faith without works is dead. It's in your bulletin, and then there's room for you to take notes there if you want. Let's just look at these verses here, 14 through 17. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith that does not result in good works cannot save. If it doesn't result in good works, it cannot save. Now notice here. Notice James does not say, sometimes when we read scripture, it's just as important for us to realize what it's not saying as to what it is saying. Okay? So James does not say, what good is it if someone has faith? He didn't say that. Instead, he says, what good is it if someone says he has faith? Ah, there's a key word in there that some of these heretics forget. Okay? If someone says he has faith. So James is describing someone who has nothing but a profession of faith. He says he has faith, but nothing about his life indicates it. Okay? Notice also, okay, now here's another key word. Notice also that James asks, can that faith save him? He's not like saying the faith. He's saying, can that faith, this false faith, okay, referring to the first part of the verse. It's a say-so faith that is not backed up by good works, and it cannot save. It is only words and it's worthless. Okay, so that's the kind of faith he's referring to. It's not a true, authentic faith in Jesus Christ. So an example is given here of one who has neither adequate daily food nor clothing. What good is it to give them warm words but not lift a finger to actually help them? What good is that? Okay, such words are worthless. That's why, as the scripture says, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. That kind of faith is not real faith. It's not real. It's only a matter of words. James is not saying that we are saved by faith plus works. He's not saying that. Nowhere in this passage is there the word plus. Okay? He's not saying faith plus works, which would, as you and I know, dishonor the completed work of our Savior, Jesus Christ, on the cross. It would dishonor that. If it were true that we are saved by faith plus works, if that were true, then there'd be two Saviors. There'd be Savior Jesus, and there'd be Savior self, right? There'd be two Saviors, but there's not. Jesus is the one Savior. But even Jesus said, let's get this verse up there, "For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its fruit." Luke 6:43-44. Jesus said that. And I tell you what, those trees that I got planted in our front yard for my wife for Mother's Day and our anniversary, if they end up bearing pears in a couple years, I'm going to be shocked, because the tree nursery told me they're apple trees. How am I going to know that they're really apple trees when I start seeing apples on that tree, right? That's the only way I'm going to know. But then if a pear shows, I'm going to call up the tree nursery and be like, "Hey, it's a fake. I wanted apples, not pears. Come on," right? And sometimes we see that in people who claim to be Christians and they produce bad works, or they produce a fruit that is not the fruit of Jesus Christ, right? That's how we know what kind of tree someone is, by the fruit they produce. Even Jesus said that. So, but what James is emphasizing is that we are not saved by a faith of words only, but a kind of faith that results in good works. Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus," what? "To do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We aren't saved by good works. We are saved to do good works. It's important for us to remember that. Works are not the root of salvation, but the fruit. Okay? Works are not the root of salvation, but the fruit. Okay? Number two, our faith must be shown by our works. Our faith must be shown by our works. Let's take a look at these verses, 18 through 20. "But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that God is one? You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless?" So let's look at this passage. By the way, James 2:19, that verse up there, that was one of the key verses in leading my mother to the Lord. Someone shared that verse because they asked my mom, "Well, you think you'd go to heaven if you died?" "Oh, yeah, I would." "Well, why?" "Well, I believe in God." And then she quoted this verse. You believe in God, that God's one? Well, good for you. Even the demons believe in God, and they shudder. And my mom was like, pretty sure the demons aren't going to heaven. So there must be something more I have to do than just believing in the existence of God, right? Okay, we're going to talk about that here. True faith and good works are inseparable. So here we have a glimpse of a debate between two men, where the first is genuinely saved and the second professes to have faith but does not demonstrate that faith by good works. Okay, so the conversation might be paraphrased in this way. So just imagine this conversation as you're kind of looking up at what it actually says. So yes, the first man may accurately say, "You say you have faith, but you do not have works to demonstrate it. I claim that faith must be backed up by a life of works. Prove to me that you have faith without a life of good works. You cannot do it." faith is invisible. The only way others can know you have faith is by a life that demonstrates it. I will show you my faith by my works. Okay, so that's another way that conversation could have happened. So the key to this verse is in the word show. Okay, there's lots of little key words and gems in this passage that helps us correctly interpret it. Okay, we've had a couple already. Now another key word is show. To show faith apart from works is impossible. We can't. As we continue to verse 19, the debate continues. So a man's professed faith may be nothing more than a mental assent or acknowledgement to a well-known fact. That might be all it is, okay? A man's professed faith. It's not enough to simply believe in the existence of God. That's not enough. Even the demons believe in the existence of God, and they shudder at the thought of their punishment by him, okay? The demons believe the fact, like, yep, I know God's there, but they do not surrender to the person. They know who God is. They know he exists, but they do not submit themselves to him. And that's why demons will not go to heaven. But even they know God exists. And there's a lot of people sitting in pews right now, many thousands, probably millions in churches across the nation, and they think that they are fine because they showed up at church this morning and they believe God exists. And they are on a highway to hell because they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. They have not surrendered their life to him. And that bothers me. And that's why I do what I do, is because I want to see people enter into a relationship with Christ and go to heaven. So that's not a saving faith when we just know that somebody exists, okay? There's a lot of people in this country that know Donald Trump exists, but they would say, he's not my president, right? A lot of people said, I know Obama exists, but he's not my president, right? They know he's real, but they choose not to submit to him, okay? Same thing with God. And that's not a saving faith. When a person truly believes on the Lord, it involves a commitment of spirit, soul, and body, resulting in a changed life. Therefore, faith that is not shown by works is useless. It's useless. Okay? Now, here's where we get really hot with some phrases. This is the fun part. That's why I saved it for last. Nice that it was last in order. Verses 21 through 26. We are justified by faith, which must be accompanied by works. So that's the main point in your bulletin. We are justified by faith, which must be accompanied by works. Now remember, James uses the phrase justified by works. And I didn't want anybody to walk in and see that as one of the points and be like, these guys are preaching heresy, I'm out of here. So that's why we're going to talk about this and explain what he means by that, okay? So let's take a look at these verses again. So James 2, 21 through 23. And in fact, let's just keep these ones up for a minute. I'll just read these ones and we'll hang on that, and then we'll go to the next section in a minute. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. All right, let's hang there for a minute. Okay, and then of course the other example was Rahab, right? So here we see two examples from the Old Testament of true faith in action. They involve Abraham, a Jew, and Rahab, a Gentile. All right? Now, Abraham was justified by works in offering up his son Isaac on the altar. He was first justified by faith, believing God's words, but then his faith was put to the test. Abraham showed us that his faith was genuine. He showed us his faith was genuine by his obedience and willingness to offer up Isaac. Okay? So it's clear that his faith inspired his works. And by his works, his faith was perfected. See the connection there? Faith produces works. Works evidences faith. That's the relationship. not saved by works, saved to do good works. That's the evidence. That's the fruit. The offering of Isaac demonstrated Abraham's faith and was a practical fulfillment of the scripture, which said that Abraham was justified by believing, right? Okay, and then his good works identified him as a friend of God. How do I know that any of you here are a friend of God? Because of how you live your lives. By the things I see you do, the language that you use, your acts of kindness, you know, all those things. You know, if someone said, oh yeah, I've got a relationship with Jesus Christ, and then they go over in the corner, start smoking a doobie, drop F-bombs, things, I'm going to be like, that person's Christian? Really? Doesn't look like the Christians I know. Doesn't look like they're producing the fruit of the good Christian trees that I know are producing, right? There has to be those works that identify us as a friend of God. So from this, we can conclude that a person is justified by works and not faith alone. This does not mean that a person is justified by faith plus works. Once again, you never see Abraham was justified by faith plus works. James never says that. He never says that. He is justified by faith Godward and by works manward. God can see the depths of our heart. He knows our faith. Others cannot see the depths of our heart. They need to see those works in order for us to know. So the only way to show the reality of our faith to others is by good works. Now, let's go to that next slide there, James 2, 24 through 26. So a person is justified by, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Now, this second illustration is Rahab the prostitute, who was obviously not justified by good character, knowing the type of life that she lived, right? The verse tells us she was a prostitute. Okay, she wasn't justified by her good character. She was justified by works because she received the messengers, these spies, okay, and sent them out by another way. She had heard the reports of the undefeated Hebrews and concluded that their God was the true God. Rahab decided to identify herself with this God, no matter what the cost might be, even death by treason to Jericho. She committed treason against Jericho to house these spies. Okay, so she befriended the Hebrew spies who entered the city. This proved the genuineness of her faith in the true living God. If she didn't believe that God was the true God, why would she have helped these spies? She wouldn't have. She would have said, nope, you're not supposed to be here. She would have turned them in, as the law, I'm sure, said. So she wasn't saved by harboring spies. But this hospitable act proved she was a genuine believer. Now think of this. This is going to blow your mind. If this passage is used to teach salvation by good works, listen very carefully. So the next time you have a conversation with someone that says, see, we're saved by good works, this is what you can tell them. If this passage is used to teach salvation by good works, then it is teaching salvation by murder and treason. Because those are the good works that Abraham and Rahab did in this passage. Think about it. Abraham was ready to murder his son. Rahab committed treason by housing those spies. Think about it. If faith is removed from these works, then they're bad works. Abraham murdering his son, Rahab committing treason, those are not good things. Okay? So it makes absolutely no sense for someone to say, see, we're saved by good works. Abraham and Rahab were. Oh, really? Because Abraham was about to murder his son, and Rahab committed treason. So those are good works. It's foolish, right? So lastly, James compares faith to the human body and works to the spirit. The body apart from the spirit is what? It's lifeless, useless, valueless. So also faith apart from works is dead, ineffective, worthless. Two questions I'm going to leave you with. Okay, so think about this. Here's a question you can ask yourself. Am I willing, like Abraham, to offer the dearest thing in my life to God? Will you show that you have faith by offering the dearest thing in your life to God? Second question, Am I willing, like Rahab, to turn traitor to the world in order to be loyal to Christ? That's essentially what they did to prove their faith. Those were the works that they did. So the big idea, live out your faith by your good works.